This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath. I'm glad to be part of a family, of a church family that has a heart and does her part. I want to start with a word of thanks, especially to those that yesterday, well, actually on Thursday, had a heart and went out to serve those that lost their part. It has been obvious in the last few months that people are going through situations and the distress level that they are experiencing is higher than any other time. But by God's grace, you can be used to have a heart and do your part in lifting up the burden of these people. I want to congratulate you if you've chosen to do your part. If you've allowed the Holy Spirit to use your heart to go out. Now, if you feel that, yes, this is unfair because not everybody had the chance to go out there, but yes, you can serve the Lord in different other capacities, that is true too. And I want to also acknowledge those that may be doing service for the Lord behind the scenes. You don't even know who's doing what. And things are happening, and only eternity will be able to show, like on a big screen, what has been going on behind the scenes. Thank God for everything that He has provided for you. Thank God for the ways He's chosen to use you to bless other people's life. And yes, I thank God for you, my church family. You know, there are different ways of thinking about having a heart and doing your part. There was a man that was on a mission trip, and his daughter, who just attempted to do suicide, she failed with that attempt, but then she called her daddy and told him, "Daddy, please come home. Come home immediately." And the wife of that man also pleaded with him, told him, "Please, please come home. Our daughter really needs you." But the man that had a heart, he really had a big heart, and he would go to the end of the world, and he decided that instead of coming home immediately, he would book a flight to go to Vietnam, because this was during the Vietnam War. And after that, the daughter said, "Yeah, you know, I knew he wasn't going to come home." Well, after a few years, same daughter tried again to take her own life. This time she was successful. And, you know, starting with that moment that tore apart the heart of the entire family, his relationships with the rest of the family, with his two other children, was very strained, very tense. He got to the place where for years he and his wife would not speak. But remember, this man is a man that has a heart. A big, big heart. He died at 64. alienated from all his family. Yes, he had a heart, but he failed doing his own part. You may not know whom I'm talking about. Well, the name of this guy is Bob Pierce. And this wonderful man in many people's eyes is the one that founded the world famous World Vision. You know what World Vision is? It is a development and relief agency, the largest in Christianity, something similar to EDRA that we have in Seventh-day Adventist circles. But this man of God, many thought he really was a man of God. He was known for his big heart. And only God knows what he was really going through. He would often pray, and people would hear him pray, "Lord, let my heart be broken. Let my heart be broken by the very things that broke your heart." And somebody that knew him very well said, "I've never met a man with more compassion than this man." And a very good friend said about him, "Yes, he is a true Samaritan." Now imagine how split somebody has to be. How split in the heart, how split in the mind somebody has to be a man of a big heart, to have such a heart that goes to the end of the world, literally, and at the same time fails doing his own part. My topic this morning, yes, in this Thanksgiving context is, have a heart and do your part. What does that mean? Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 2 and 5. This is what it says. Galatians 6, verses 2 and 5. Please notice the difference between the two Bible verses. Bear one another's burdens. Have a heart, right? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But then, verse 5 says, for each one shall bear his own load. Do your part. Have a heart. Do your part. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are here to listen your words. Yes, when we look at these Bible verses in the context of Thanksgiving, in the context of giving us your blessings and using us to bless other people, Lord, we want to analyze ourselves and see how we have a heart and how we do our part. Through the Holy Spirit, guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed that these two Bible verses sound similar. Verse 2 talks about bearing one another's burden. Bear each other's burden. That's verse 2. But then verse 5 says, each one shall bear his own load. Let me ask you, is a burden a load? Is a load a burden? Let's see. When Paul says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Paul is talking about a burden, a weight, something heavy. And his word is baros in the Greek language. It also means pressure. I don't know if you're aware of the fact that we have the word bar, not the bar where people go to drink, but the bar as a measurement, as a unit of measure for pressure. In my country of origin, in Romania, if you take your car to the car shop and they want to check your pressure in the tires, they will measure your pressure in bars. It's not so much used in the US, you have a PSI here. But maybe in the countries of your origin, you've encountered the same experience. But there's something else related to this word that Paul uses that you have in the United States as well. When a hurricane or a tropical storm hits, the pressure is measured in millibars. Yes, because baros, the word in Greek, means pressure. It means heavy load. It means weight. It means something that burdens somebody. And indeed, if you think about a life of a human being, you will see that a life goes through some very turbulent zones and times when a hurricane hits or a storm hits, and there's pressure there. And what Paul says, bear one another's burdens. Bear the pressure. Be there for one another when the hurricane hits. It's interesting that in my country, in Romania, the word baros from Greek is taken over and is used also for a sledgehammer. Can you envision a sledgehammer? A sledgehammer is a huge hammer, very heavy, very weighty. It's a huge burden. Now imagine somebody that is in a situation where he or she has to carry a sledgehammer. A sledgehammer is not easy to carry unless you have very strong muscles. But even if you have strong muscles, after a while you get tired. A sledgehammer, imagine somebody carrying or dragging a sledgehammer. Jesus says, God says, bear one another's burden. Because you and I, none of us were created to carry such burdens. None of us were created to be under the heavy pressure of a hurricane. And God says, yes, in that context, you have to bear one another's burden. But then Paul, in the same context in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, look at that verse. For each one shall bear, what? His own load. Is load the same as burden? Is burden the same as load? Well, it can be. But what Paul says here, for each one shall bear, what load? His own, her own load. And the word here is not the same baros from the Greek language. It's a different word. It's fortion. And you have the same word in the English language. It suffers some transformations, some changes down the road. It was taken over from the French language in the English language from portion. It's called portion, fortion. But it's the same word, fortion, portion. What does that mean? Well, it's different from burden. Burden is something heavy. Burden is something weighty. It's pressure, unbearable pressure. Whereas fortion, portion, is something that is created. It is assigned, it is given to one person as a portion. And that's where you also get the word proportion from. Yes, the law of proportionality. In Paul's time, the word he uses here, for each one shall bear his own load, his own portion, was a technical term used by those that were in the shipment industry. You had a ship, and that ship had a specific portion to carry, a specific load. Do you know what the name of a city is where a ship comes to take the portion on and then carry it? It's called Port, Port St. Lucie, Port Everglades. You know why? Because the port was the place where the ship would come, take a portion, the portion that was assigned to that specific ship, and that ship would take a portion from this port and carry it all the way over across the big water to the other port and then unload it. Oh, does that seem like a beautiful picture of life? Because you and I, we are ships in God's shipyard. And God, for each one of us, He has the right load to carry. God knows exactly the load that you and I, that we can carry. There's no more, no less. He exactly destines the right load to your vessel, to your ship. You know something very interesting about ships? A ship has to carry the exact load that ship was built for. Now, can you put more of a load on that ship? Of course you can. But there's a risk there. If there's too much on the ship, it's gonna sink. Can you put less on that ship? Give me an answer, please. Can you put less? Yes, you can, with the same risk. Because the ship is created in a way, if you don't put the right load, the right portion of that ship, then it may flip over because of the instability, the waves and everything, and it can go down and sink again. Did you see the connection now? Okay, you and I, we are the ship created by God. And for our ship, God has the exact load, the right load, the right portion. And I have a Bible verse that expresses this beautifully in Psalm 68, verse 19. Look at that verse. Blessed be the Lord. It's Thanksgiving, isn't it? Blessed be the Lord who does what? What does He? Okay, you're daily in one port, and you have to carry your what? Portion, your load, every single day from one port to the other port. And what does God do to you? Blessed be the Lord who daily does what? Loads us with benefits. Actually, in the Hebrew, there's no with benefits. That's an extrapolation because the translator wanted you to understand. But that's what it says. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us, the God of our salvation. But does God know how much to put on our ship? Of course. And what He puts there indeed is benefits, even if the word does not appear there in the original language. Because even the things that you think, this is not a good merchandise, this is not the right value. Yes, if God put that thing on your ship, it's there because that's a benefit coming from God to your own life. And you can be thankful for what God put on your vessel. Now, thinking about the way God loads your ship and seeing the law of proportionality. Proportionality is something so important in the Bible. Let me give you a weird example. Somewhere back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10, this is what God says. Do not plow with an ox and the donkey yoked together. And you will say, what? What is this, Lord? I mean, really? Is this important to you? Why shouldn't I plow with an ox and a donkey? Because it's ridiculous. That's why. Because an ox is a big old ox, right? And a donkey is a little funny donkey, right? And then yoke them together. And how is gonna that work? That's not gonna work. Why? Because the law of proportionality is broken. In order for them to be able to plow together, to tow the burden together, they have to have the same, pretty much the same size, the same strength. What happens if the ox moves faster and the donkey is left behind? You can destroy the little donkey. And I've experienced this donkey lesson in my own life. I have an older brother and two younger brothers. When my eldest brother was 12 years old, he grew up out of a sudden. I don't know if you can imagine. Some people in your family, they just grow like this. And they are up there. Okay? I was 2 years behind him. Just 2 years. But when I reached 12 years, he was now 14, a pretty grown man, strong, very, very strong muscles and bones, and I was a tiny little boy, you know. And I was 12, and I was expecting for me to grow, and I was not growing. I started growing when I was 16. So there was 4 years or what, when it looked like he was 4 or 5 years older than me. But I remember one day, because we had an orchard somewhere away from home, one day our parents sent the two of us to bring some fruits and nuts home, you know, go and pick some fruits and nuts and bring them home in the fall. So we would go there, and I had a bucket in proportion with my size, you know, that was my portion. And my brother had a larger bucket in proportion to his size, that was his load, his portion. But then we also had some sort of a bag, like a basket, that we should have carried together, you know, one on one side and one on the other side. Now imagine this, when we are coming back home, you know, loaded. I have my portion in the smaller bucket. He has his load, his portion in his larger bucket. But then there is this load in between us. And he's the ox, and I'm the donkey. And all I can hear is, hey bro, lift that bag, lift the bag. Because what happened is, if I was shorter, right, and he was taller, When he was holding that bag, and I was lowering it, all the weight was on him now. So he wanted me to lift, to contribute, but it was heavy. So I would lift it and then lower it slowly, you know, trick him, and it went back and forth, until he said, "Okay, you wanna play me? Okay." So then now he lowered his hand. And you can imagine now the whole weight was on the little donkey. Have you noticed God is interested in the life of the ox, but also in the life of the little donkey? And he says, no, don't put them together. Don't plow with them yoked together. That's not gonna work. If you want to plow with donkeys, plow with donkeys. If you want to plow with oxes, plow with oxes. That's proportional. And maybe the best way in the Bible to see how proportionality works is to look at the financial system of God. If you make $100, then you will pay tithe, give back tithe to God, how much? $10. If you make $10, you will not be expected to pay $10 back to God. It's $1 only, because that's the tithe. Is there any financial system in the world that is fairer than God's financial system? Because God works based on the law of proportionality when it comes to your tithes, and also when it comes to your offerings. God says, yes, you can contribute according so or in proportion to your portion. Yes, that is how God blesses us. This is how God loads us every day with benefits. And everything that God does works with the law of proportionality in our lives. But there's something interesting when it comes to the law of proportionality, because there are two components of it. One is called responsibility. Responsibility. And if you go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, this is what it says. For each one shall bear his own load. That's the portion. And you are responsible for your portion. The portion that God has given you has not been assigned to anybody else. It is your load. It is your proportion. It is your portion. Why is that so important? Because without the responsibility that derives from this law of proportionality, family life becomes very hard. It becomes actually a burden. Just imagine a family in which everybody has a heart, but nobody does his or her part. You know family members like that? Have you noticed how those family members have become a burden to the rest of the family? And you will say, yeah, he's got such a big heart, bless his heart. but he or she doesn't do his or her part. And now the portion of that person becomes a burden to the other person. Not only that, that person himself or herself becomes a burden to the other people in the family. Parents, it is on us. It is our duty, it is our responsibility to teach our children the law of proportionality, to help them understand how important it is for them to be responsible. Because yes, we want them to be thankful. We want them to be able to express their thanks when Thanksgiving comes. But in order for you to be thankful, nothing can be more rewarding. Nothing can fill your tank better than the sense of, yes, this was my portion, and I did my portion. Did I perfect? Did I do perfect? Well, maybe not. And yet I did my best to do my own portion. And that applies to the church family as well. Yes, have a heart. Oh, and we have so many people in the church that have such a beautiful heart. Such a big heart, bless their hearts. They just forget to do their parts. I hope you're not one of them. But listen, it's so beautiful when you see people that yes, have a heart, but you also know, okay, you are not supposed to know, because here we have a problem. Because we know better the portion of somebody else than our portion. Okay, and sometimes you have people in the church, you have leadership sometimes in the church, and they know exactly what somebody else's portion is, but they don't know what their own portion is. Okay, so it's not your business to know what other people's portion is, but God knows. Can something be more rewarding, fulfilling for you Then stay with God in your prayer and thank God for being able to do your portion? Because He knows what your portion is. Yes, you cannot do anybody else's portion, and you are not supposed to do anybody's portion. You have to do your own portion. When you take somebody else's portion, then you leave your portion probably undone. Because how are you going to carry a double portion on your own vessel? Huh? It's gonna sink. But do your portion. And in the church family, that's just as important as in your family, biological or adoptive family. Because yes, God assigned responsibilities to you. And I want to talk to your heart right now. We are looking for people even in leadership, that would take on the portion that God wants to assign. Sometimes we go to people and ask them, hey, we feel that God is looking for a ship just like you. That's the best ship for the cargo. What is the cargo? Well, let me describe the cargo for you. What do you think? Well, I think I may be able to carry that load. Okay, so then let's start loading. But he said, nah, but I think somebody else can do it also. And you may be right. The only problem is, for some reason, God has decided that specific cargo should go on your ship. And if you accept God to load your ship, you will have something to thank for later on when you will experience the blessings that come with that load. Oh, it may be scary at first. It may look like, maybe my ship is too small. Listen, if God told you your ship is strong enough, is big enough to carry that cargo, be assured, He will see you through. And no matter what is going to happen on the ocean of life, you will be able to move from port A to port B, because that's God's destination. But then you have another component of proportionality, which is solidarity. Yes, you have your own responsibility, but you also have to show solidarity with the others. I spoke about the portion which is yours. And you are not supposed to take anybody else's portion. And you are not supposed to leave your portion to anybody else. That's yours. God assigned that to you. But you look around and you see that in life there are people that are not carrying their portion only. They really are carrying a burden. And if you want to see a literal picture of that, you can look into Nicaragua or Honduras, and you will see those people that were hit by the hurricane. People that were carrying their burdens anyways. Because life gives you burdens. No, God gives you portion, your portion. But then the enemy, and he's got his ways, people, angels, and sometimes your own internal enemy. Yes, the enemy will bring burdens to your life. And then a hurricane hits. And again, I want to encourage my church family. Let us help those that are in need. There's a way to help them financially. So if you would like to donate for them, just indicate in your donation the hurricane relief destination, because Florida Conference and our hospitals have united their efforts to help those people. Because that's what God says. Carry or bear one another's burden. Not the portion. We are strong enough to carry our portion, but the burden. And it's interesting, you know, to see how important it is to draw near somebody. Unite your strength with somebody else's strength to carry a load, carry a burden that otherwise would not be even possible to be carried. And I think about people that are going through hardship, not hurricane like a physical phenomenon, but hurricane like just life that happened to them. Watch and see that God does not say, take that burden over. That's not what He says. He says, carry it. And the idea is of sharing. Share the load. Did you know that in theory, if you could unite the capacities of two vessels, of two ships, the cargo they could carry would be bigger than the individual cargo they could carry, each one of them? Yes, Because that's how we function. We can share the burden. And we can draw near one another and put our shoulders there and just share the load, share the burden. And thus, says Jesus, fulfill the law of God. When you look at the simplicity of the Bible, the law of proportionality, in which I have my responsibility, but then I am supposed to show solidarity, you indeed can realize that nothing can be more rewarding, more fulfilling. Nothing can bring more thanks and gratitude out of your heart than being able to do what God wants you to do. Carry your portion, yes, your load, your own load, but also carry the burdens of other people. These together give you the spectrum of fulfilling your duty in this life. I would like to bring all this together in a beautiful picture that I saw a few years back. It must be more than 10 years, I believe. I was traveling from Romania to Mexico, to Monte Morelos University. And I had a layover in Dallas, Texas. You may know the airport. It's a pretty huge airport. But different from other situations, I had to take my check-in luggage again and carry them somewhere else and do a check-in again, which is pretty weird, but that's what I had to do. And while I was waiting in the line, I saw a beautiful family there, most probably Mexican family, two parents, and four children. And because I always analyze life and people, it just came natural to see what they are doing. And I learned a lesson for a lifetime from that beautiful family. You may know that Mexicans usually are not very tall people, okay? So pretty small, mother and father, and then the kids, even smaller. But they had two huge luggages. And you know from pre-COVID times, that one of the greatest challenges when you travel by plane is the luggage, especially if you go with family, okay? And luggage can be a huge burden, but then if you go into details, you put things in that baggage, in that luggage, right? So something meaningful must be in that thing. And I'm associating this, you know, the big burden, but then if you look at details, and that's the same in your life. You have to carry that huge, huge thing. But then if you look at details, you will say, oh, this is good. I need this. Because if you did not need it, you would have thrown it away already. So here we have the two huge luggages. And the adults, they hardly can move it. So two of them move those luggages and bring them to the counter. And, you know, there is extra weight. So they label those big items with a special label when they have extra weight. So they show the solidarity. It was like the entire family was pushing those big luggages to put them on the scale and weigh them and put them on the band. But then I noticed something else. And I said, oh, wow, this is very interesting. Each one of them had their carry-on. And that's the portion, okay? Now we had the burden. The burden was placed there on the belt. But now you have your carry-on. And because you could see size, you could see also proportion too. The size. the law of proportionality. The man had the size, well, the biggest size possible, you know, because that's what men usually do when they fly. You would go and buy the suitcase, the biggest one allowed on a plane. And that's what the man had. The wife, she had something a little slimmer, not too much slimmer. I was wondering why they didn't have it the other way around. I'm sure, pretty sure the lady had something in her husband's bag as well, right? Okay, so the ladies are with me on this. But anyways, it looked like his carry-on was a little bigger than her carry-on, when in fact, most of the time in life, her carry-on is a little bigger than his carry-on. Okay, don't judge me too harsh on this. But I'm moving to the kids, four kids. Around 15, in my estimation, 15, 12, 8, those are boys, 15, 12, and this is 8-year-old, approximately, a daughter, a girl. But you have a little one, I think less than 4 years old. Every single one of them had his or her own backpack. The big one, the 15-year-old, he had a sizable backpack. So much so that his father had to help him to take it on. Then the other one had a backpack with a smaller size, but it was in proportion with his size, right? And then the daughter. I still have the picture in front of my eyes, a flowery, beautiful backpack. It was totally different from the others, you know, the dark colors. This was flowery, beautiful. But the little one had his own little backpack. And I can't tell you how proud he was. It was like he was traveling for the first time, you know. You could see from how he was looking all around. Wow, this is an airport, okay. But he was so proud of that little baggage, the carry-on, the portion. Now let me ask you one thing. Do you think this family, with all the burden and the portions that they were carrying, were they happy? Were they thankful? Were they? Can you be, by God's grace? Can you be? Amen. 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 Let Jesus help you. Let the Holy Spirit give you the strength for that. Amen.
Oh,
Yes, Father, we are thankful, we are grateful for the law of proportionality that you work through. We thank you for allowing us to be responsible and also show solidarity to those that are under heavy burdens. Be responsible in our portion, but also be compassionate and have a heart for those that are going through the difficulties of life. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for his call to come to him if we are tired, if we are burdened, if we are heavy laden, so that we can really find rest at his feet. Father, I pray for each one of our church family members. I thank you for each one of them. Father, I pray that each one of us will have a heart and will also do our part. I pray that your Spirit will fill our hearts so that thankfulness will always come out through our lips and will be brought in front of the whole universe. Gratitude and glory and honor and thanks to be lifted up from our hearts, from our mouths, in Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.